We also want to welcome all those that are watching from all over the world and all over the country. We want to just give a big shout out to all those countries. Let me just read them to you. I don't see them up there, so I'm going to go ahead and read them from here. We want to welcome from Europe, the United Kingdom, Poland, Sweden, France, the Netherlands. We say hello to, there we go. Okay, now we start all over. Sorry. Let me go to Africa first. We say hello to Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Zambia, New Zealand, Australia, India, Malaysia, the Philippines. We say hello to Singapore, Japan, the United Kingdom, Wales, North Ireland, Poland, and Greece. We welcome Sweden, France, the Netherlands, Germany again, Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, Panama, Cayman Islands, Trinidad and Tobago. Live with us is Argentina, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. Would you welcome all those that are watching? Some 29 states, and we welcome all those that are watching. Let me just say this to you. Also, this is for those that are watching. This is the night that we usually have our worldwide prayer meeting from our Bible school in Hershey, or really in Grantville, right near Hershey, Pennsylvania. Pastor Carter leads that for us. We're going to take a moment to pray, not only thanking God. This has been 4 months to this day since he's had open heart surgery, and he is doing fantastic, and he will be with us in the next 2 weeks. He'll be speaking here from this pulpit, and we're excited. We're also going to pray that God would begin just to this holiday season. I want to believe before this year's over that God is going to do a work in some relatives' lives, and that God is going to bring salvation to your households, and I want to believe for that. We've had an amazing last few days with Christmas on Broadway. We have seen so many people get saved. We thank God for that. Emmanuel, God with us. We just saw just tremendous things take place. We thank God for all of you that are here. I want to encourage you, don't forget, get that Times Square Church Christmas album on Spotify, iTunes, play it, and then preach the gospel to your family. All right, let me read to you the beginning of the greatest love story ever told. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I want to do my best to describe the indescribable of that night, that what happened on that first Christmas night that shocked an unsuspecting world. I want to talk to you about the night that changed our forever. The night that changed our forever. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you just to come to this place. Would you just help me just to have some type of help from the Holy Spirit to describe what took place that night? That, Lord, there is people that are listening to my voice, both in this building, around the country, and around the world, that God need an answer. They need help. They need a miracle. And God, you on that night came with power in the form of human flesh as a baby. And God, I'm just gonna ask you that that miracle that came into the world came to work miracles in our life, the greatest miracles. So Father, would you come and do something special tonight on this Christmas Eve? In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. At the very end, we're going to take communion together here at Times Square Church and close out the service. I read an article about a World War II situation that I never knew about. It was something that I was astounded by. The name of the article that I read just a couple days ago was simply called "The Man Who Snuck into Auschwitz." Let me tell you about that story in Auschwitz. I visited Buchenwald and saw one of the concentration camps. Auschwitz was considered the worst. In September of 1940, it was Witold Pilecki, a Polish army captain, did the unthinkable. He snuck into Auschwitz. That's right into it, right into the heart of it. Pilecki knew that something was terribly wrong with the concentration camp, and as a committed Catholic, a Polish patriot, he couldn't sit by and watch, and he wanted to get information of the horrors that were taking place, and he knew he could only do it from the inside in Auschwitz. So the army provided a false identity card, gave him a Jewish name, and then Pilecki allowed the Germans to arrest him during one of the routine Warsaw ghetto roundups. Pilecki was sent to Auschwitz and assigned the inmate number. He has lost his name, he has lost his identity, and he is simply 4859. That's all he was, 4859. He was a husband and a father of two and said these words. He said, I bade farewell to everything I had known, my children, my family, my career. He became just like any other prisoner in Auschwitz. He was despised, he was beaten, and threatened with death constantly. And from the inside, he wrote that this game that I thought I was playing in Auschwitz has now turned so far more dangerous than I ever thought. 1 year into the camp, he would try to smuggle out information of what was actually happening. 2 years later, he joined the camp bakery, was able to overpower a guard and escape. And once he was free, it was him that he got free on his third year being there. He told about the 2 million people, the 2 million Jews who had been killed in Auschwitz. Prisoner 4859 was there for 3 years, and he did everything he could to escape all by himself. Think of this for just a moment. This man snuck in and barely made it out alive. He made it out while 2 million people died in that camp. 2 million. The incarnation of Christ, Christ coming on this night, is strangely similar and vastly different from this Auschwitz story. Let me explain. God snuck into humanity one holy night, strangely similar to prisoner 4859. But God didn't leave by himself. He had a plan that he wasn't leaving here alone. He was going to bring as many people with him to heaven that he can. That was God's plan on that night. He would not be there for 3 years. He would be here for 33 years. He would become Emmanuel, God with us, God coming to us, God rescuing us. It was the word that an angel spoke to Joseph when he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This is amazing. God sneaking into humanity. Do you understand the ramifications that God would leave heaven and come to us, come to this concentration camp, and God would begin to disguise himself as a servant, as a child on this night? I remember reading this in a book called The Hungering Dark. Listen to these words. It says, those who believe in God can never in a way be sure of him again. Once they have seen him in a stable, in a manger, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go or what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of man. And this means that we are never safe, that there is no place where we can hide from God. No place where we are safe from his power to break in and recreate the human heart, because it's just where he seems most helpless that he is most strong. And just where we least expect him, he will show up and come fully. He is not afraid to show up at a liberal campus. He'll show up at a bar tonight, at a frat house, at a sorority house. He even comes to Times Square, New York City. God will come anywhere. That's what this Christmas story tells us. I have to tell you, I was given a story of one of our members here was inviting somebody in their apartment building, a Jewish woman, to come on one of the nights. here at the church for the Emmanuel, God with us. And this Jewish woman said, why would I even go to your church? I'm Jewish. And their response, so is Jesus. So she came. She not only came, she got saved. Went on Sunday to one of the booths on the street that we had telling people about this, and she told them, here, let me read to you. She said, I just watched Times Square Church on Broadway. Greatest inspirational singing, acting, extraordinary appeal. The message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior deeply touched me and changed my Jewish heart, is what she said. Let me just tell you what that means. If God would leave heaven to come to a stable, he is not intimidated by anybody in this place or around the world. He will show up in North Korea and Cuba. He will be at Lima, London, and Mexico City. He is a God that you cannot hide from. Psalm 139 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Thank God he is intimidated by nothing, no one, and will be here tonight. No matter how dark your heart may be, God has come on a rescue mission tonight. Now, this is going to be the hardest part of the night. As Willie gets ready to come, and pretty soon we're going to share in communion. I have tens of thousands of books in my library, only three of them, excluding the Bible. I'll put the Bible to the side. Three of them have brought tears to my eye. Three of them have made me cry. The first one was C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. When he told the story, when the people of Narnia were under a curse, they were all turned to stone. And then when Aslan resurrects and goes to the witch's castle and breathes on them, I don't know what that was there on how he wrote, but there was such a profoundness when C.S. Lewis wrote this children's book that I kept seeing Christ beginning to breathe on stony hearts and them coming alive. It was so emotional to me. Another book was called Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. When I started to read the prayers of this man from the 16th century, it was one of those rare moments that blindsided me. But the third book that I don't even know how I found it other than watching and listening to on the radio is a Bible teacher in the 90s and the early 2000s, still with us, but just retired from ministry, a man named Chuck Swindoll. How many know that name? Chuck Swindoll had a researcher named Ken Geyer. Ken Geyer wrote a book that I just never could imagine this would happen to me, called Intimate Moments with the Savior. Intimate Moments with the Savior. And in it, he would describe what he called Incarnation Night, the night Jesus would sneak into Auschwitz, called Planet Earth. Incarnation, if you hear that word, it's a Latin word. It just means in the flesh, that God would come in baby as a baby on this night. Men were held not by Nazi soldiers behind barbed wire. They were under the rule of Satan. They were surrounded. We were surrounded. Population, earth was surrounded by the hounds of hell, and we would die and go to hell, not millions but billions if it wasn't for this night. And it wasn't a reporter that showed up on that night. It was the Savior of the world. What would that night look like when God showed up? And in this book, it was the very first chapter. The chapter was called An Intimate Moment with Mary and Joseph. Listen for just a moment. I have been at the bedside with Cindy for all four of my children's birth. I cut the cord, held my wife's hand, and wept as we'd welcome each of those children into the world. And as I read Ken Geyer's description of the incarnation, I was floored. I want you to buckle up. I asked God to help me get through it. I reread it again over these last couple days, and it was emotional to me. I have the wherewithal, and I've just asked God that I would have the wherewithal. Now remember, I want to read this to you Later on, I'm going to put some of it on the screen. It's Incarnation Night, and God has sent his son to planet Earth. Let me take you just for a moment on this first night. Let me take you to that stable. Let me take you to the manger. Let me read to you. I'm just going to read what Ken Geyer wrote. For just a moment, you won't see anything on the screen. Maybe you could not bow your heads. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to just focus, somehow just focus, listen to these words as I begin just to share them with you. This is what Ken Geyer wrote. This birth would not be easy, either for the mother or the child. For every royal privilege for this son ended at conception. A scream from Mary knives through the calm of that silent night. Joseph returns breathless, water sloshing from the wooden bucket. The top of the baby's head has already pushed its way into the world. Sweat is pouring from Mary's contorted face as Joseph, the most unlikely midwife in all Judea, rushes to her side. The involuntary contractions are not enough, and Mary has to push with all of her strength, almost as if God was refusing to come into the world without her help. Joseph places a garment beneath her, and with a final push, a long sigh, her labor is over. The Messiah has arrived. An elongated head from the constricting journey through the birth canal. Light skin as the pigment would take days or even weeks to surface. Mucus is in his ears and nostrils. Wet and slippery from the amniotic fluid. The Son of the Most High God, umbilically tied to a lowly Jewish girl. The baby chokes and coughs. Joseph instinctively turns him over and clears his throat, and then Joseph cries. Now here's the part I want you to see on the screen. Just see this. May God begin to help you see what he was showing me. Mary bares her breast and reaches for the shivering baby. She lays him on her chest, and his helpless cries subside. His tiny head bobs around on the unfamiliar terrain. This will be the first thing the infant king learns. Mary can feel his racing heartbeat as he gropes to nurse. Deity nursing from a young maiden's breast. Could anything be more puzzling or more profound? Joseph sits exhausted, silent, and full of wonder. The baby finishes and sighs. The divine word is reduced to a few unintelligible sounds. Then, for the first time, his eyes fix on his mother. Deity straining to focus. The light of the world is squinting. Tears pool in her eyes. She touches his tiny hand, and hands that once sculpted the mountain ranges cling to her finger. She looks up at Joseph, and through a watery veil, their souls touch. He crowds closer, cheek to cheek, with his betrothed. Together they stare in awe at the baby Jesus, whose heavy eyelids begin to close. He has been on a long journey, and the king is tired. And so, with barely a ripple of notice, God stepped into the warm lake of humanity without protocol, without pretension. Where you would have expected angels, there were only flies. Where would you have expected heads of state, there were only donkeys. A few haltered cows, a nervous ball of sheep, a tethered camel, and a furtive scurry of barn mice. Except for Joseph, there was no one to share Mary's pain or her joy. Yes, there were angels announcing the Savior's arrival, but only to a band of blue-collar shepherds. And yes, a magnificent star shone in the sky to mark his birthplace, but only three foreigners bothered to look up and follow it. Thus, in the little town of Bethlehem, that one silent night, the royal birth of God's son tiptoed quietly by as the world slept. That's what that night looked like. That's what it was all about. God is trying to tell us something in the birth of Jesus. He's trying to speak to us. The real Christmas spirit is that God has not forgotten us. He's not forgotten you. He would make that journey for you. He would make that journey. The Son of God, while men and women are rushing through the streets of New York City, think what happened on that night. Let me say these two things. First, the gift of the Son of God defines our need. Just that simple. What the gift was that God gave to us, Jesus defined it. Christmas tells me that God launched a great rescue mission. He came to this concentration camp, snuck in on that silent night. And the Prince of Peace would come on a rescue mission, a costly one. Blood is shed. Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, was really born to die on Calvary. But the tragedy is that after this costly rescue mission, to think of what he went through to get here for you and for me, so many people don't want to be rescued. We don't even ask for a rescuer. We don't even need one, we think. This is the dilemma. God has sent a Savior, and there's a whole bunch of people, some sitting in here, that just don't want to be saved. We settle for just looking at the baby Jesus once a year, but God forbid if we worship him and surrender to him. Our trouble is we want peace without the prince, and you can't have one without the other. And finally, tonight, the gift that we were given determines our response. That gift on that silent and holy night. I read that lifeguards know one of the things that they're taught on rescuing the drowning is they have to wait. That when someone is drowning, there is this mad rush to get to them, but then there has to be a pause. There has to be a waiting. When someone is panicking and trying to save themselves in a drowning experience, a lifeguard, a well-trained lifeguard, will have to tread water near them and wait till the drowning person finally gives up and starts to go under. Then it's easier to save them. If they try to save them while they're saving themselves, it usually means they both go under. All the victim now has to do is finally give up. And that's when the lifeguard steps in. A drowning person cannot be saved until they give up trying to save themselves. That's what God has to do. He has to wait until we give up trying to save ourselves. If there was another way, heaven could have avoided Christ being born a baby, dying on a cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. In my opinion, I think he would have done it. But there was no other way. This is why he came. This is why we packed into this place tonight. This is why some of you stood out in the cold to get in here. Something inside of you tells you that this wasn't just an ordinary night. It was a holy night. It was a rescue mission from heaven that came down on our behalf. Remember the song, Away in a Manger? I have to tell you, that night, there was the way in that manger on that night. The only way. Acts 4:12 says, salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us which we can be saved. Only this one, Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. That's what he has come to do. So much different than a Polish reporter going in and reporting what has taken place. Jesus didn't come to this planet, report what happened, and then went up to heaven. He planned on leaving here with billions of people. I have a fond hope that we would play a hope, that we'd play a part in seeing maybe a billion of them going to heaven from here. The gift defines the need. The gift determines the response. It's for you. It's a gift for me. And we could receive it tonight. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? So just before we share in communion tonight, would you just bow your head and close your eyes for a second? Those that are watching in the annex, balcony, main floor, just for a moment. Just for a moment. Those that are watching around the country and around the world, I want you to remember this night. I want you to remember why he has come. I want you to remember the journey of the infant king, why he is here. We seem to have start the story from a manger with a baby crying, but have forgotten what I've just read to you tonight. But Mary had to go through labor. The thought, there was just phrases to think that the light of the world squinting, the hands that would sculpt mountains and create oceans clinging to a human hand for help. The mouth that would speak universes was now just speaking unintelligible words, because that's what he chose for you and for me. That was the mission. I will sneak into humanity. And I'm here to announce tonight, it was a rescue mission for me and for you. And if there was another way, I think heaven would have taken it instead of putting him through the pain and the journey. But there was no other way. He is the way. Tonight, on this celebration of the rescue mission of heaven, we call it Christmas, but it was a rescue mission. The glory of the Christian message is this: we had a debt we couldn't pay called sin. The child that would be born would be the child that would die. Bethlehem could never be complete unless there was a Calvary cross, because that's where he would pay for it. God has given us a way, the way. And some of us sit here tonight and have forgotten that it was a rescue mission. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just a moment, we're going to take communion tonight. We're going to celebrate the second part of the mission, which is the cross, Calvary. But if you're here tonight, I have to tell you, he came for you. He came for you. He snuck into humanity to rescue you, to change you from the inside out, to give you a life more abundantly. You would feel the forgiveness of sins, that you wouldn't have to live in fear of death, a depression that would come upon you because of tomorrow, because of all that you'd face. It is not a pipe dream. It is God in humanity. And then here's what the other miracle is: God in us. God in us. He would come and dwell inside of us. That's why the Bible would say something this profound: greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That rescue mission would find its way and its birth in Bethlehem, only to be realized on a cross and then to find the finale for him to come into our hearts. That experience is called being born again. That's the experience that changes everything. It's not a religion. It's not about a church, a mosque, and a synagogue. It's not about whether you're Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. It is about honoring and realizing there is one God who has a Son who is God in the flesh and has given us God the Holy Spirit to be inside of us. Without trying to sound even like a rebel, I can't tell you how many times I've had to say to people, no longer can I say, I will not say happy holidays. I will tell people Merry Christmas, Jesus has been birthed, Jesus is born. I just won't do it. You know what? I am a rebel. I just won't do it. I'm not gonna let anybody. Think about what we just described. I'm gonna let the government decide what we can say and not say. Here it is, right here in New York City. Here it is. This is Jesus's day. This is Jesus's day. It's not happy holidays. He's alive. He came to rescue us today. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry. I had to get it out. It's been sticking inside of me. And I finally just had to say, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. And so I'm just letting you know, I'm not doing it out of rebellion. I'm doing it simply because it's the truth. He is alive. This has been a rescue mission. I want to read to you something that somebody sent to me. They said one man got so tired of telling everybody who's changing it from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. He says, this is what I say now. May the birth of the one and only true God, Jesus Christ, bestow a blessing of grace upon you and your household to the belittlement of every false god and every religion that goes on. I said, you are bold, man. You are bold at that time. But that's who it is. If you're here tonight, there's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. He made a way. He made the way. That's what this is all about. If you're here tonight, the Bible tells us that the only way is that we must be born again. That's what it talks about. No man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. What does that mean? That the king that came is the king that wants to come into our hearts tonight. He came for you. Now it's you inviting him into your heart tonight. It's you saying, come in and change me from the inside out. How does that happen? It's as simple as ABC. I tell people all the time. It's A, admitting. I told someone recently in a bagel store. I said, here it is. Right in front of all the everything and sesame seed bagels. I said, let me tell you what this is all about. A, you have to admit that you're a sinner. We're all broken on the inside. That's why the rescue mission. That's why we have a night to celebrate like tonight. That's why this is a special night. It's to admit that we're sinners. We're all broken on the inside. There's not a prescription or a program that can fix my condition called sin. I can't make promises to forget to fix it. I've got a condition. It's called sin. I don't need a second chance. I need a second birth. It's B, believe. Believe that God sent his son 2,000 years ago. That's why we're celebrating this night, to come on that rescue mission, that he would pay the debt that I couldn't pay, live a life that I couldn't even live, and give me a reward I don't even deserve, which is heaven and forgiveness, and C, confessing him as Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 talks about that, that we finally come to a point that we just say this. We just say, you are in charge of my life. Jesus did not come 2,000 years ago to get you to church. He came 2,000 years ago to get you to heaven. That's what he has come to do. And if I was to simply ask you, it's probably the most important thing I could ever say. I said it every single night at the production. If I can say this to you, if I was to ask, how do you get to heaven? Probably in this building and in the annex and watching around the world, there would be thousands of opinions on how to get to heaven. And here's what's remarkable. Listen to me. Those that are watching from Australia and France, Germany, Poland. Listen to me, Sweden and Ireland. Listen, Venezuela and Brazil and Portugal. Listen, what's amazing is this. We all know how to get there, but we've never been there. Somehow you all know the directions. You're going, this is how you got to be a good person. I got to be baptized. I got to go to church. I got to be a good person. We all know the direction. Look at me. Everybody look me in the whites of my eyes right now. Here it comes. Here it comes. You don't know the directions because you've never been there. Jesus knows the directions to his own home. He knows the directions to his own home. So if he said, no man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again, those are the directions, not yours. The person next to you, if they have any different direction than this, they're not telling the truth. That's really mean on Christmas Eve. No. I got to get you to heaven. I'm not here to get you to church. I'm here to get you to eternity. That's just what it is. So if somebody is next to you and says, well, that's not true, just ask them this question. That's all I want you to ask them is this. So have you been to heaven? So tell me how to get there. And if they say, well, I don't believe in heaven, go to the next person and say, thank you. It's been great knowing you. Let me talk to somebody else at this point. I'm just telling you, if they say that's not how you do it, then you have to just say, the next question is, then you must have been there and come back. And probably the answer is no. So in that point, Jesus said this, he who came from heaven to earth said this, you must be born again. That's all it is. Just as you had a first birth physically, you need a second birth spiritually. Now, close your eyes and bow your heads, and this is all I'm gonna ask. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, I want that second birth, and what a great day to make this your second birth date. Your first birth date is when you were born into this world. Your second birth date is when God becomes alive inside of you. Not a religion, but a relationship. And if you're here tonight, man, December 24th, you can tell people, Christ was born and I was born again on this night. I'm gonna pray simply a born again prayer that starts the journey. If you're here tonight and you just say, well, Pastor Tim, I can't do it because I've got this problem, this problem, this problem. Here, I got good news for you. Perfect people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. So on this night, balcony, main floor, annex, watching around the country and around the world, I'm gonna ask just once, and I'll just do this very quickly, and then we take communion together. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, when you pray that prayer in 30 seconds, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. When you pray that prayer, I wanna be in. I want tonight to be my second birth date. Tonight, I wanted to say I was born again on December 24th. He came for me. This was my birth date. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that? Without any hesitation, if you go, include me in that prayer, tonight's my second birth date. If that's you, without any hesitation, hold your hand up as high as you can. Hold it up high. I want to make sure I see every hand. Put them up high. Hold them up high. Don't be ashamed. Keep them up. Keep them up. I want to make sure I see them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Keep them up. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Keep them up. 16, 17. Thank you. Keep them up in the balcony. Hold them up. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. I see you waving over there. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. All the way back there. 29, 30, 31, 32. Got you right there. 33. You can put your hands down. We thank God for all of you. Annex, I'm sorry we didn't see you and online. You can type in those names. You can type in online, I'm deciding tonight. This is gonna be my second birth. Come on, let's begin to say this prayer together. Everybody in this place, say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, And everybody said amen and amen and amen. I'm so excited for you online. Listen, you can be seated. If you just decided that in person, you can just text the word decided to 51,000. Online, you can just go ahead and email growth@tsc.nyc.